Darshanam no didrikshunam.
Darshanam no didrikshunam.
Dehi bhagavatarchitam.
Dehi bhagavatarchitam.
Rupam priyatamam svanam.
Rupam priyatamam svanam.
Savindriya gunanjanam.
Savindriya gunanjanam.
Darshanam no didrikshunam.
Darshanam.
Bhagavatarchitam
Dehi Bhagavatarchitam
Rupam Priyatamam Svanam
Rupam Priyatamam Svanam
Savindriya Gulanjanam
Savindriya Gulanjanam
Dasanam No Didikshunam
Dasanam No Didikshunam
Dehi Bhagavatarchitam
Dehi Bhagavatarchitam
Rupam Priyatamam Svanam Salavendriya Gunanjanam
Salavendriya Gunanjanam
Darshanam
Darshanam
Vision
Vision
Naha
Naha
Ava
Didrikshunam
Desires to see
Desires to see
Dehi
Dehi
Kindly exhibit
Bhagavat
of the devotees
Architam
as worshipped by them
Rupam
form
Priya
Tamam dearmost
Svanam
of your devotees
Sarva Indriya
all the senses
Guna,
qualities,
Anjanam,
very much pleasing.
My dear Lord,
I wish to see you exactly in the form that your very dear devotees worship. You have many other forms, but I wish to see your form that is especially liked by the devotees. Please be merciful upon me and show me that form, for only that form worshipped by the devotees can perfectly satisfy all the demands of the senses. Purport. In the Shruti, or Veda Mantra, it is said that the Supreme Absolute Truth is Sarva Kama, Sarva Ganda, Sarva Rasaha. Or, in other words, he is known as Raso Vai Saha, the source of all relishable relationships, rasas. We have various senses, the powers of seeing, tasting, smelling, touching, etc., and all the propensities of our senses can be satisfied when the senses are engaged in the service of the Lord. Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhaktir Uchate. Bhakti means engaging all the senses in the service of the master of the senses, Rishikesha. This is from the Narada Pancharatra. These material senses, however, cannot be engaged in the service of the Lord. Therefore, one has to become free from all designations. Sarva Upadhi Vinirmuktam Tat Paratvena Nirmalam. One has to become free from all designation or false egotism and thus become purified. When we engage Our senses in the service of the Lord, the desires or the inclinations of the senses can be perfectly fulfilled. Lord Shiva, therefore, wants to see the Lord in a form which is inconceivable to the Bhoga philosophers or the Buddhists. The impersonalists and the voidists also have to see the form of the Absolute. In Buddhist temples, there are forms of Lord Buddha in meditation. But these are not worshipped like the forms of the Lord in Vaishnava temples, forms like Radha Krishna, Sita Rama, or Lakshmi Narayana. Amongst the different Sampradayas, Vaishnava sects, either Radha Krishna or Lakshmi Narayana is worshipped. Lord Shiva wants to see that form perfectly, just as the devotees want to see it. The words Rupam Priyatamam Svanam are specifically mentioned here, indicating that Lord Shiva wants to see that form which is very dear to the devotees. The word Svanam is especially significant because only the devotees are very, very dear to the Supreme Personality of God. The Gyanis, Yogis and Kamis are not particularly dear, for the Kamis simply want to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead as their order supplier. The Gyanis want to see him, to become one with him, and the Yogis want to see him partially represented within their heart as Paramatma. But the Bhaktas or the devotees want to see him in his complete perfection. As stated in Brahma Samhita, chapter 5, text 30, Venum Vananta Maravinda Dalaya Taksham Parahavatam Samarsita Buddha Sundarangam Kandar Patoti Kamaniya Visesha Sobham Govinda Manipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is adept at playing on his flute, whose eyes are blooming like lotus petals, whose head is bedecked with peacock feathers, whose beauty is tinged with the hue of blue clouds, and whose unique loveliness charms millions of cupids. Thus, what Shiva's desire to see is to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead as he is described in this way. That is, he wants to see him as he appears to the Bhagavatas, the devotees. The conclusion is that Lord Shiva wants to see him in complete perfection and not in the impersonalist or voidist way. Although the Lord is one in his various forms, advaitamajutamanadim, still, his form as the young enjoyer of the gopis and companion of the cowherd boys, Kishora Murti, is the most perfect form. Thus, Vaishnavas accept the form of the Lord in his Vrindavan pastimes as the chief form of Jnana Timirandasya Viranjana Salakaya Chakshurum Militam Dena Tasmaye Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Dena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kada Mahayam Tadati Svapadantitam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Mangayati Girim Yakripa Tamam Vande Sri Gurum Dinatam. Vedanti tat tattva vidas. Right? The Lord is a very mysterious personality. A very interesting personality, because he is the emblem of everything. Everything exists within him. And so all of the features that we can witness all of the elements, all of everything, practically speaking. We can find it originally within the Lord. And the Vedas teach us each of the various aspects, or each of the various features of the Lord, so that we can get to know him in all of his variety. That's why we see variety here in the material world. So where does that variety come from? It has to come from somewhere. It can't come from nothing. Nothing comes from... We all know nothing comes from nothing. But this is basic. Right? And personality or variety comes from it has an origin, and that origin, in order for there to be variety, that origin itself must have variety. So the Vedas teach us, and basically teach us in three aspects. The first aspect is the Brahman, which is the impersonal feature, the formless feature. So not only does God have form, but he also doesn't have form. This is maybe a little bewildering. How can somebody have form and not have form at the same time? Well, this way is called the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because he's able to do many, many things all at once, and many of them inconceivable, beyond the conceptions of what we experience in the material world. First of all, there's the impersonal feature, the energy of the Lord that is without form and without feature. Of course, it has some features, otherwise it wouldn't exist. But the Brahman feature is like the... Prabhupada gives the example very often in explaining these three features: Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavaniti, Sadhyate. He uses the example of the sun. The rays of the sun are likened to the Brahman, the Brahma Jyoti, which is the energy of the energetic. The energetic being the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. And the rays that emanate from the sun glow, are considered to be like the Brahman feature, the Brahma Jyoti, the light, the energy that emanates from... another example. What's that verse? Shtitas Jagya. Prabhupada quotes all the time. He likens the Lord to be like a fire that's sitting in a fireplace in a room. Right? The fire is situated in one place. But when you were sitting, just like the other day, I cleaned the filters in our air conditioning system at home. It was about... I didn't know that. I found out, because I've never used an air conditioning system before. But anyway... It was There must have been at least a 16th of an inch of dust. We got the vacuum cleaner out. And now when we turn on the AC and the heater, it's like, you know, it's like we're living in Brisbane. Whereas before it was like living in Melbourne. I think, what's the use of this stupid air conditioner? I was reading in the Choice magazine, it was saying the most efficient form of heating is actually to have an inverter system, an AC inverter system, which means, you know, warm in winter time, cool in summer. I tell you what, it does wonders to just clean the dust off of the off the filters, because then the air can go through the whole thing, and now all of a sudden the thing's actually working. So the heater's stuck up on the wall, but we can now feel the presence of the heater all over the house. Right? So this is this example of the Brahma Jyoti. Is the Lord is situated within the spiritual realm, but the energy of the Lord is experienced all over the creation, just like the energy of the AC. Even though the AC is stuck up on the wall, we experience it all throughout the house. Right? So, and there's no, you know, you feel it, but there's no. There's no real defining features. Of course, there's warmth, there's heat, there's light. But it's difficult to perceive the personality within the energy. Difficult to perceive. But the Vedas describe how behind the energy, there's the energetic, the source or the controller of the power. And that controller is a person, would you believe? You know, air conditioners don't just appear on walls, you know, by themselves. They need to have a creator. They need somebody to design them. They need somebody to make them. So Krishna's like that when he... when he manifests the material world, it's coming from his energy, but he does it through his plans and also through the personalities that he gives charge of those facilities. So the material energy just doesn't... the material energy is manifest by God. But we learned in the Bhagavatam how then... and that's the first creation, but then there's the second creation whereby the Lord empowers different personalities to do the work of setting it all up in such a way so that we can live in it. Right? And of course, the whole creation has a purpose, has a plan. Krishna has a plan. The living entities have decided to enter into the material world and stay here to try to enjoy, even though all it creates for them is suffering. But he has a plan. His plan is to bring them back to the spiritual world. And in order to facilitate that, he empowers the different demigods, and specifically Lord Brahma, to take that... The basic elements of material energy and then form them into a fashion whereby the living entities can be facilitated so they can try to enjoy, but at the same time they're educated in understanding that the material world is not the be-all and end-all of everything, that ultimately the place that we should be is back in the spiritual world. So the Bhagavatam teaches us these three features. There's the Brahman feature, which is the material energy, the Paramatma feature, which is the presence of the super soul within everybody's heart, and then ultimately the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who's the source of everything. Ishvaraha, Parama, Krishna, Satchit, Ananda, Vigraha, Anadi Adi Govinda, Sarva Karanam, Karanam. He's the cause of all causes. So this is what... who's praying here? Is this Lord Shiva?
Lord Shiva.
Yeah. So Lord Shiva is praying to the Lord, I want to see your original form. Right? I want to see the form that is most appreciated by your devotees. Bhagavata Architam. Right? Bhagavat Architam. I want to see that form that's worshipped by the Bhagavatas, the devotees. Right? There are two types of Bhagavatas. There's the book, Bhagavat. Right? And then there's the devotee, Bhagavat. So, and of course the book Bhagavat also worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead, right? In all of these different forms. The whole of the Bhagavata is designed to help us understand who the Lord is in these different features. Not only that, but also understand that the Lord is not just the Lord by himself, but the Lord is present with his devotees. Right? Just like if you want to have a party, have you ever tried having a party of one? Huh? Not much fun. If you want to have a party, then you want to bring your friends. Huh? So Krishna is also like that. And Lord Shiva appreciates that, because he's a devotee too, actually. Right? I want to see the Lord, but not just any form of the Lord. I want to see that form of the Lord which is most greatly appreciated by the devotees. And so, Lord Shiva is praying for that opportunity to worship him in the form that the devotees serve him in. Right? So, even though the Lord appears in an impersonal form, more important than the impersonal form is considered to be the personal form of the Lord. And in the personal form of the Lord, there can be so much reciprocation and engagement and activity. Right? If God is just worshipped as impersonal, then what can you do for him? What can you do with him? It's boring. Right? The devotees want to engage with Krishna in his personal form. They appreciate the impersonal aspect and they understand and honour the impersonal aspect, but more important to the devotees is the personal relationship that they can have with Krishna. And within that personal relationship, the service that they can do, the service that they render. Because naturally we're inclined to act with senses. This is the nature of personality means you've got senses. Nature of a person means you've got senses. If you haven't got any senses, then what are you?
Dead.
Yeah, impersonal. At best. But probably dead, yes. Because we have senses. Krishna has senses. And so we also have senses, being the spirit soul or the living entity, the jivatma, is actually a reflection of the personality of Godhead, but in a minute form. He is the vibhu, and that's the greatest, the biggest, the most powerful, and we are anu, smallest. But even though we are small, we still have those characteristics, personality. Right? mind, senses, identity. Right? We have identity. And along with that identity comes that sensual being. I'm reminded of a song by Skyhooks. Ego is not a dirty word. False ego, ahankara, the false identification with the body, is the nature of material existence. But just because our material identity creates so much difficulty for us, that doesn't mean that we don't have personality, or that we shouldn't have personality, or that we should reject personality. Because in the material sense, or the material realm, personality is what causes so many problems. Just like we got a letter from one of the devotees who was helping out with crowd control. Right, and he's saying, "Oh, I committed so many offences to the devotees." Of course, the devotees weren't doing what they were asked to do. It wasn't him that was being offences; it was they. They were the ones who were being offensive. Right? He said, "Oh, it's too much trouble. I want to resign." Right? But you know, material existence is tough, but you can't resign. Right? You know, sometimes people think that by committing suicide, you know, they can just escape everything, but you can't. You'll have to take birth again and then suffer more. Right? So better take the suffering now and work with it, because it isn't going to go away. And identity is not going to go away. Right? It's like, you know, some yoga systems try to stop the mind. I mentioned this the other day. Forget about stopping the mind. It is not possible. It is not possible. Just as we can't get rid of our personality, our identity. And so the devotees look at this from a positive perspective. We can take the mind, we can take the senses, we can take our identity, which is us anyway, and use it for spiritual advancement. Use it for spiritual purposes. And Lord Shiva appreciates that nature, or that characteristic, or that, he is it also, that tendency of the devotees to want to serve in their natural relationship with Krishna. That's the natural, being, if you like, of the living entity is to serve. What is it? Nitya Krishna does. Jivera Swarupa Hoy. The eternal form of the living entity is as a servant. Huh? This is what we are naturally. We're a servant. And so that the personality, the senses, the mind, the intelligence, and the ego, not the false ego, but the real ego, that is, I'm a servant of God, is best exercised in what?
Service.
Yeah. Well, starts with an S.
Service.
Service. Yeah, service. We're going to serve someone or something at any time. You can't stop serving. Well, just around here in that public park, we live in a fairly affluent suburb. And I like to go for a walk, morning walk, to chant my japa. And you get a bit of exercise. Wake up, basically. And have a guess what you see. All the local people going out walking their dog. And then when the dog does a pee or whatever, they have to stop, right? Or the dog does a number two, then they have to pick it up. It's like, rah! What's wrong with you people? But service is there. Right? They have to serve. And they get, the children have all grown up and left home. And so what do? They get a dog and they serve the dog. Because, you know, it's just natural to want to serve. We can't not serve. So, and it's through service that we actually get to know Krishna. This is another. What is it? Right? But that you can study the Vedas until the cows come home. You can perform austerities, which is what the yogis do to see the Paramatma. And you can perform material activities. Of course, material activities generally the karma is performing material activities just to get material benefits. But in order to know Krishna, one has to perform bhakti. And bhakti means service. Means, and Prabhupada mentions that here, sarvopadi vinaya muktam. In order to get free from the different bodily, you know, identifications. You know, what are the bodily identifications?
Nationality.
Huh?
Nationality.
Who said that? Param. Yes, nationality. What else?
Occupation.
Occupation. Yes, what else?
Male, female.
Huh?
Male, female.
Gender. Yeah, what else?
Age.
Yeah, I'm young. You're young, right? I'm old. But actually, we're none of those things. Right? When you think about it, we're actually none of those things. We're an eternal spirit soul. We've had so many births. Right? Are you an Australian now, Farah? No. What about you? Yeah, you're an Aussie. He was an Indian not so long ago, now he's an Australian. But this is not who we are. Right? So there's so many sava upadi. But we want to get beyond thinking I'm a body, or I'm a male, or I'm a female, or I'm old, I'm happy, I'm sad, or whatever. I'm a doctor, or I'm a student, or whatever. So many bodily identifications. But how do we do that? We do that by engaging our senses and our mind and our intelligence in the service of the master of the senses, right? Of the person to whom it all belongs, and to whom we belong, ultimately. And it's by that service, through that, what's that verse? Many verses, but Atha Sri Krishna Nama Adi Nama Vedraya Indriyaya Sevam Mukui Hijivado Swayam Eva Sparatyada. That we need to engage our senses in the process of devotional service in order to be purified. What Prabhupada mentions here in this purport, the material senses cannot be engaged in the service of Krishna. Yeah, that's what we do. In one sense, that's what we do. But in the process of using the material senses, the material mind, and the material intelligence in service to God, what we're actually doing is purifying the senses so that our original spiritual senses are what's actually being engaged in Krishna's service. Very purifying process, very purifying activity, the process of bhakti. We take what appears to be material and we convert it into spiritual, because ultimately everything has a spiritual source anyway. Right? And if it's used for material purposes, then it just covers us up. But if we use it for spiritual purposes, even using the same elements, the same ingredients, we convert it into spiritual energy, or shall we say the end result is spiritual realization rather than being covered by the material energy. We're open, or our we have our consciousness expanded. Just like, you know, when you make a cake and you offer it to Krishna, we're using the same material ingredients, right? But then after the offering, it's not material anymore. It's spiritual, prasad. So, this, Prabhupada says, bhakti means engaging all the senses in the service of the master of the senses. So we take the same elements, the same ingredients, but we use them for a spiritual purpose, and that result is self-realization. So, Lord Shiva wants to see and to serve that form of the Lord that is most dear to the devotees, because he knows by the darshan, or the vision of the Lord in that form, he'll be able to fully engage his senses in the service of that, and all of the different varieties of relationship that exist can all be focused on and become absorbed in by rendering of service. Just like there are 12 rasas. Right? 12 rasas. Is that right? 5 primary and 7 secondary. And the secondary rasas manifest in the absence of the primary rasa. So there's Madhurya rasa, there's Vatsalya rasa, there's Sakya rasa, there's Dasya and Shanta. So Shanta rasa is a neutral rasa. What's an example of a neutral rasa?
Truth.
Huh?
Truth.
Trees, yeah. Yeah, tree. Although, the tree is doing service. Actually, everybody in the spiritual world is doing service. What service is the tree doing?
Shade.
Huh?
Shade.
Shade, yeah, very good. What else? Flowers. Fruit.
Gives oxygen.
Oxygen. I don't know whether it does it in the spiritual world, but yeah, why not? The trees are rendering service to everybody. They're magnanimous. Right? This is why, you know, we pray to become like a tree. Huh? We pray, actually, to become like a tree. Trinada bhisamichina tororeva sahishnana. Right? Let me become like a tree. Very magnanimous, freely giving air to everybody, oxygen to everybody, shade. Even if somebody comes along and chops off the branch of a tree, it still gives shade to that person with all the other branches. So very tolerant and very magnanimous. Right? So, Dasya, or even the chairs that we sit on. There's still a bit of service, right? And then Dasya. Well, who's an example of Dasya in the spiritual realm? Raktak. Yeah. Who else?
Hanuman.
Yeah. Who else? What are the cows? The cows, Dasya or Shanta?
Shanta.
Okay. So the servants of Krishna, like Raktak, Sridhar, does he fall into the category of a servant? Or a friend? He's a friend. Yeah. There's more of a personal relationship with Krishna in the character or the personality in the relationship with his friends. So there are the cowherd boys who render service, menial service to the Lord, and that service, when it's more intimate and more friendly, is manifest in the personalities of devotees like Sridharma and others who play with Krishna, who fight with Krishna sometimes. Krishna's friends sometimes think they're superior to him, and so they say, come on, who do you think you are? I'll give you a run for your money. And of course Krishna appreciates it, he likes that. Then there's his parents, the Vatsalya Rasa, which is observed in the senior gopas and gopis. In all of these different relationships, there is variety. There's appreciation, there's exchange, there's love, there's affection. There's even anger, right? There was that story that Jamuna Leela told the other day about how Narada Muni got, was it Balaram? Who did he get? Was it? He got Balaram to sit on the swing with. Lalita with Krishna. Then Narada Muni went and told Radharani what was going on. Well, somebody. So, you know, even there's anger. Radharani, they got angry. Huh? And then Krishna got scared. Krishna's the supreme controller, yet he's controlled by Srimati Radharani, his greatest devotee, because when she gets angry, then he starts shaking in his boots. Well, he doesn't have boots, does he? But he gets worried. So there's all of these, Madhurya, Vatsalya, Sakya, Dasya, Shanta. In all of these different relationships, we see all of these different exchanges. And so Lord Shiva wants to worship that form within which the devotees can have the most complete set of experiences and exchanges, because that's going to be the most satisfying. That's why Krishna is the rasa vaisaha, right? Prabhupada mentions here all of the various rasas can be fully exchanged with Krishna, and so therefore he is considered to be the most attractive and the most complete form of God, Because in that form, you see all of the exchanges in full, manifest in Krishna's lila. And why the devotees want to enter into that set of exchanges, or in that set of relationships, in that set of pastimes. Because in Krishna lila, one sees all of the full variegatedness of relationship or relationships. And that's why the void or the impersonal aspect, even though it's appreciated because it's an aspect of God, it is not the highest form, because the nature of relationship is limited. Actually, it's very difficult to have a relationship with an imperson, with anything impersonal, right? The manifestation of impersonal relationship is like if I sat here on this seat, but I looked at Tank Street and I just gave you my back. Right? What kind of relationship are you going to have with my back? Huh? This is impersonalism. It is a relationship of sorts, but one of ignorance. That's it. That's why, you know, when we're talking to somebody, we like to look at their face. Try talking to somebody's back. Not very pretty. It's just, it doesn't work. Rupam priyatamam svanam. He wants to see that form which is very dear. The conclusion is that Lord Shiva wants to see him in complete perfection and not in the impersonalist or voidist way. Although the Lord is one in his various forms, Advaitam, Achyutam, Anadim, still his form as the young enjoyer of the gopis and companion of the cowherd boys is the most perfect form. Thus Vaishnavas accept the form of the Lord in his Vrindavan pastimes as the chief form. Okay, I think I'll finish here. Does anybody have any comments or questions?
In the first three words of the verse where it says, my dear Lord, like which form of the Lord is he actually addressing?
My dear Lord. Who's he speaking to? Who's he speaking to? You have to look at the context here. I don't know.
He started with the praying to Satyavina.
He's just giving general. He's offering prayers to Aniruddha. Huh?
Yeah.
That's what it is. But all different forms here. Sankashanaya sukshmaya durantayantakaya cha namo vishva prabodaya prajumnayantaratmane nama ankajanabhaya. That's Lord Vishnu, right? So it looks like he's offering prayers to all of the many different forms of the Lord. Because this is the thing, this is quite bewildering, you know, that God is one, but then he manifests all of these different forms. It's like, whoa, what's going on here? So who do we worship? Who is he anyway? He comes as a half man, half lion. He comes as a horse. He comes as a swan. He comes as a pig. He comes as a snake. So it's like, ooh, I'm getting a headache here. Trying to work out, who is this fellow? So we're fortunate because here we're getting an opportunity to witness Lord Shiva's understanding and realizations and appreciation of all of these different forms. So, now he's offering prayers to Lord Vishnu, actually. That's who he's offering prayers to now. And we know that because he's saying, in the next verse, he says, Chatu Bahu. The four-armed form. Chaturbahu. But Prabhupada clarifies it here that the original form and the form that's worshipped in the Vaishnava temples, the Radha Krishna, Sita Rama, Lakshmi Narayana. Anything else? Anything today? No? Okay. Very good. Bhadra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Sri Prabhupada ki jai. Gaura Bhaktivinoda ki jai.